Let me read to you from Ephesians chapter 5. Sorry, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll start at verse 25, I think. We'll start at verse 25. And Paul is talking to his church, and it's entitled Living as Children of the Light. And that's a song about that, isn't it? That was a song about how do you live as a disciple, a representative of God and who he is, so you reflect him. And that's how he treats us. And that's how we should respond to our world. And here's other ways that we should do it. And this is living as children of the light. Verse 25, Ephesians chapter 4, says this. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. For anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you're a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way that you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. We're talking about emotions and the need to take those emotions that rise up and interfere with our lives very seriously. I want you to imagine a scenario, just to drill home while we're talking about this. Imagine you have a son and he has a pet. It's an unusual pet because it's an 8-foot-long python. And he's promised you he'll look after it and he'll feed it and he'll take it for walks or whatever you do with a python. And he's promised that he will keep it away from you, which is the most important thing, in my opinion, if you have a pet like that. But one day you come home from work and there is a note on the kitchen counter. The note says, "Dear Mum and Dad, I was playing with Fang today and he escaped. I think he got down a hole in the floorboards. He's probably under the house somewhere." Now, would you be looking for Fang, do you think, if you got a note like that? Would you be aware that there is a snake in your house, free and loose and doing whatever snakes do? Would you be aware of that? Here's the question. Would you go to bed if you didn't find Fang? Would you go to bed, get under the duvet and turn the light out if you couldn't find Fang by midnight? Would you do that? Hands up, who would do that? Exactly. Really? You don't mind pythons? Yeah, you see, you probably live with these things, Ivan, in warmer climes than we have, and you probably know things about pythons that I don't know. Let's imagine it was a venomous, deadly snake. Then you wouldn't. Okay, right, okay. I'll probably pick the wrong snake, haven't I? Because I don't know a lot about snakes. So if it was a venomous, deadly one, you wouldn't go to bed, would you? You would stay up until you find it. You would be crazy to snuggle under the blanket, switch off the light and go to sleep with a deadly creature in your house. If I know there's, and this week there's been quite a few of them, if I know there's a daddy long legs in my room, I don't turn the light out and go to sleep. I mean, that's me, but I'm a wuss. So that's me. But if there's something that shouldn't be in your house, we get pretty focused on getting rid of it, don't we? I mean, for some of you, it might be a mouse, it might be a rat, it might be a bunch of bees in a lot. But, you know, you don't just go, oh. You worry about it and you don't turn the light out until you've dealt with it. The odd thing is, when it comes to our hearts, we're far less concerned and far less proactive. All kinds of things take residence in my heart. Things that are not good and that have potential to do an awful lot of damage. Things take residence on a routine basis in my heart. And we're not as proactive, are we, about those things? Jesus said this. He said, from the heart comes all evil thoughts, adultery, lust, and all sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. He says, these things can take root in a human heart. These things can live there. Would you want to turn the light out with that living there? Wow. And because of that, Solomon said this, above all else, guard your heart. It's the wellspring of your life, and this, what's in there matters. And you should pay attention. You shouldn't just be relaxed about it. You should do something about it. The fourth monster we're talking about that maybe lurks in our heart and comes from within and rises up like some B-movie monster, we're talking about today. And we're going to talk about this issue of anger. We're going to talk about anger. There it is. There's a good image of it. There were images of men being angry and women being angry. So this is not just about you guys. This is about all of us, gender irrespective. Most of us know what it is. We all know what it is to experience anger in a moment. But some of us, here's the key thing. Here's an important thing that we're talking about this morning. Some of us know what it is to carry anger, not in a moment, but throughout our lives. And from relationship to relationship. Some of us know what it is to carry anger long term, not just in a moment. And even if you don't, you probably know some people or have worked with some people or have some people in your family who are like that, who seem to carry anger with them wherever they go. They're just angry. The smallest thing sets them off. You're walking on eggshells sometimes. Don't mention this because you know what's going to happen. You know, you just know, and they brought this anger. It feels like they're bringing this anger with them. They're carrying it around all the time. You heard someone being honest once and say, you know, when I'm at work, I'm fine. I can cope with the frustrations and the niggles and stuff. And what happens is when I get home, that's when it comes out, usually because it's safer to express there. You don't get fired at home, do you? You don't get fired at home. Well, you could do. It's called divorce, but you can get fired at home. But when I get home, it's like the slightest thing sets me off. Some people say that, you know, I can bottle it up at work. But when I get home and when the lid's off and when I can express it, it comes out. And it often comes out with the people we love the most because they're the safest people to express anger to. Angry people tend to express it to the people they love the most. Because it's safer to do it there than somewhere else. But it just can't help it. It's being carried around and it comes out. The good news is you don't have to carry anger. The Bible says you don't have to carry anger. You can get rid of it. But because it's not an easy fix, many of us choose to carry anger from one place to another and from one relationship to another. Ephesians chapter 4, if you want to keep that open in front of you, it has some really good advice, and it gives us hope. It's a fantastic book. It gives us hope about anger, because here's a man who's writing this. His name was Paul, and if anybody had reason to carry anger around, it would have been Paul, wouldn't it? Can you imagine some of the things that were said to Paul? Can you imagine some of the things that were done to Paul? You imagine some of the things that Paul endured when he's trying to serve God, and we get angry at God sometimes, don't we? He's trying to serve God, and the next thing I know, I'm shipwrecked, or I'm being stoned, or I'm being thrown out, or I'm having to escape through a window out down a wall. You know, he had plenty of reasons to get angry. This is a guy who's writing this letter from prison. So this guy knows the potential of anger in his own life. And he writes about anger, and he gives us great sense of hope. Anger isn't an issue of circumstances, you see. And for Paul, his circumstances didn't make him angry. Anger isn't an issue of circumstances, which you can't control. If it is, you can't control it, and there's no hope. Because you can't control the circumstances around you. But if anger is an issue of the heart, you can... Phone call. Who is it? Anybody good? Oh, no, it's all right. Carry on. If it is an issue of the heart, you can control it, and that means there's hope for all of us, doesn't it? Isn't that good news? It's not an issue of circumstance. It's an issue of the heart. So you can control things. Here's what Paul talks about. And I've given you a different version here because I think it's quite helpful. The New American Standard Version starts the sentence this way. It says, be angry. I like that because that means you can be angry. It's important to know. Jesus was. It's important to know. It's realistic. There are times you are going to get angry. And when you get angry, the command isn't don't ever be angry. The command is don't be angry and sin. What you do with that anger matters. Don't damage other people. Don't kill things. Sin, the wages of sin is death. Sin kills stuff, people, relationships, businesses, jobs, families. It kills stuff. Sin kills stuff. Don't sin. Don't kill things when you're angry. And he gives us this word picture, probably first heard if, I think I heard this in my marriage preparation course. This is one that often comes up when you're talking to couples about conflict in relationship. He says this, don't sin and don't let the sun go down on your anger. I wonder if that was ever said to you when you were preparing for marriage and you were being taught how to do that. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Here's what that means. Don't allow anger, today's anger, to carry over to tomorrow. Don't let yesterday's anger be carried into today. That's what Paul is saying. In other words, get rid of anger as soon as you can. That's the biblical advice on anger. Get rid of it fast. It's one thing to be angry in the moment, but the Bible says don't carry it. Don't carry it any longer than you have to. Now listen to the reason. Here's the reason. Because when you carry anger, you open the door to the devil. That's what Paul says. You open the door to the devil. The version you've got, it says it's a foothold. A foothold is a military term. It means the enemy is in your turf and will be very hard to get out. A foothold. The word devil literally means accuser, and that's Paul's term for the devil. Some people don't believe in the devil. Some people don't. And there may be people here. I don't know. But there may be people here, if you're a person before faith, you think, oh, devil, I'm not sure that's true. Jesus did believe in the devil, so I believe in the devil too. Jesus believes it, I'm going to believe it. That's my definition. But even if you don't believe in the devil, let me tell you, this is important. This is a principle that carries whether you believe in the devil or not. Paul says, when you, not get angry, but when you carry anger, you open the door to something destructive in your life. That's what he's saying. It's like opening the door of your heart if you're a Christian and saying, dear Satan, come in and make yourself at home. That's what it is. You know that people who carry anger wreak havoc wherever they go. You know that free-flowing anger is destructive on every level. It just is. Especially to relationships and to our lives. Paul says, get rid of it as soon as possible, because if you don't, that's going to happen. That's going to happen. Another way to understand this, you need to go back to something we mentioned when we talked about, sort of jealousy, didn't we? We talked about that sort of thing earlier on. Envy. Because all of these monsters in our lives can often be understood as a sort of debtor relationship. We talked about that with envy and things like that. We talked about debt and debtor, or greed or guilt. Guilt is a debtor thing, isn't it? Guilt says, I owe you. Remember that? We talked about that. Guilt says that. Jealousy says, well, often jealousy says, God owes me. Particularly if you're a Christian. God owes me, therefore. Greed says, what does greed say? I think greed says, I owe me. I owe me this, that, and the other. What does anger say if it's a debt-debtor relationship? And they all are. Anger says, you owe me. That's what anger says. You owe me. And the reason that's true is because whenever you're hurt, whenever you're mistreated, whenever you're misunderstood, whenever you're put down, whenever, as Grace said, you're ignored, whenever you're offended, there's a sense in which somebody took something very valuable from me. That's what happens. Somebody has taken something from you, something of real value, something that really does matter. If somebody at work took your idea, they owe you. If you live in a home where somebody took off and left, they took a piece of your childhood, or they took a piece of your future, or they took your ability to trust, they owe you. If somebody has spread some gossip about you, they've robbed you of your reputation. The feeling is always, they owe me. Anger says, they owe me. And consequently, that's how your anger reacts. And anger is a little bit like this. This is the picture of anger when you end up with carrying anger. Not just anger at a moment, but carrying anger. Anger is like an open account. It's like you open an account with somebody else. An account in which they are in debt and they need to repay you. That's what literally happens. And we say to ourselves, I'm a bookkeeper and according to my records, you still owe me. And I am not closing this account until I get back what you took. Until you make it up to me, I am keeping the books open. That is carrying anger. And as long as that account is open, you will carry anger. Now listen, the worst thing you could do yourself to yourself is to allow the sun to go down, not just on a day of anger. The worst thing you can do to yourself as a human being is allow the sun to go down, not on a day, but on a season of your life. And to carry that anger into a new season of life. Not a day, but a whole chunk of your life. To let anger carry over from childhood into adolescence. To let anger carry from adolescence into marriage. For let anger carry from one marriage to another marriage. From one relationship to another relationship. From one friendship to another friendship. Because when the sun sets on a season of your life, it is really easy to lose sight of the source of your original hurt. It is the worst thing you can do for yourself with anger, is to let the sun go down, not on a day, but on a whole season. Because what will happen is you will lose sight of what you're really angry about. And you will just keep carrying it through, forgetting who you're angry at and forgetting why you're angry. And that means you're in a new season of life, new people around you, but you're still mad. And guess who's on the receiving end? The source of your anger? No. The people around you now. And you're sure it's their fault because they just keep winding you up. They just keep making you annoyed. They do little things, but it sets you off. And people around you are sometimes walking on eggshells when this happens, when you've carried anger from one season to another and you've lost track of where the anger came from. People around you start walking on eggshells. They're probably thinking, you know what? I don't think it's an us thing. I don't think it's about me. I think the anger came from somewhere else. And they get the impression that you're just angry, but it's not necessarily about you. They'd be angry if it wasn't you and it was somebody else. And when you carry anger, it's so easy to lose sight of the original source of the hurt and the pain. The things that somebody did to you, things that are really important, and they took it from you. And that's not to say that anger isn't justified in that sense. But then you carry it. And when you carry it and you let it spill out into a new season, you find yourself angry with the wrong people. You're angry at the wrong people. And that gets you nowhere, because they can't do anything to close the account, can they? How can they repay you for what somebody else did to you? How can they do that? If they apologize all the time, and you know people who live with angry people, they apologize all the time, does it make a difference? No. Because they're apologizing for something they haven't done. And they're trying to apologize for something, and the other person has lost track of who really needs to apologize. So you just keep apologizing, and it makes no difference at all. Because the account is not with you, it's with somebody else. And you see this in relationships all the time, often too late. You get blamed for things and you don't understand. Do you ever feel that? You get blamed for stuff. You think, well, hang on, what? All I said was, and it seems to have sparked all sorts of things. It's going to be a mystery no matter how hard you try. If you're involved with an angry person, no matter how much you apologize, you never get a sense that the account is closed. You never get a sense that it isn't going to keep happening. And that's because the account's not with you. The account's with somebody else. And it feels like sometimes you're just rubbing against wounds that aren't created by you. They're created by somebody else, but you keep brushing their wound and you keep touching it. And you didn't make it, but the wound is there. And they don't know, because the sun went down on that season of life and they've forgotten and lost sight of where the anger came from. So, if you were God, there's a strange statement for a start. If you were God and you loved you, what would you say to you? If you are on the receiving end of someone who has lost track of their anger and is carrying it through different seasons, or if you are that person who has lost track of their anger and is still carrying it, what would you say to you if you were God? Well, if God loves you enough, he'll tell you to close the account. If God really loves you, he will tell you to close the account. So the next verse is not a surprise. Listen to this. Get rid. Close the account. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words and slander, as well as all types of malicious behavior. He's saying, you know how you take your rubbish out of the house at the end of the day and you dump it at the end of your drive? Do that with anger. If God loves us, he tells us to do that. But there's always a kickback, isn't it? Because if you're angry, this isn't easy. This is incredibly hard, because your response is, I can't get rid of it just like that. Paul's pretty insensitive here, isn't he? He just says, get rid of it. He doesn't give you a reason. He doesn't give you an excuse. Well, he's giving you some reasons why it's toxic in your life, but to carry it for a long time. But he doesn't give you an out. He doesn't say, but of course, if this and that, then you don't need to worry. He's actually quite insensitive here. He says, okay, go ahead, tell me your story, but my advice is going to be the same. Just get rid of it. And I think he's right, because let me ask you, if you walked into the doctors and he said, you've got cancer and it's eating you alive, what's the first thing you would say to the doctor? Get rid of it. Get rid of it. But that doesn't happen with a case of malignant cancer. We kick against it. Malignant anger, we kick against it. We argue over where we got it. We defend it. We justify it. We harbor it. And we hold it. Because malignant anger... Well, why do we do that? Part of the issue with anger is I feel if I just dump it at the end of my drive, if I just let it go, if I release my grip on my anger, I'm letting them off the hook. That's why we don't let go. I'm letting someone who did something wrong, and they did, who did something wrong, who took something valuable, and it did matter, and it was valuable. If I let go, I'm letting them off. They owe me, and it's not fair. That's why we don't do what Paul says, get rid of it. So you need to understand this. Getting rid of anger bypasses the issue of fairness. That sounds completely unfair, and it is. Getting rid of anger is not an issue about fairness. But getting rid of anger bypasses the potential to get paid off, to get the account closed and settled and neatly balanced. Getting rid of anger bypasses all that stuff. The supreme issue with getting rid of anger is not justice. Let me just say that again. The reason to get rid of anger is not justice. The reason to get rid of anger is to get yourself free. That is the purpose of getting rid of anger. Getting rid of it is more valuable, and getting free of it is more important than getting paid back. I need to say that. And you have to accept that if you're going to let go of your parcel of anger. And here's what you need to do. Verse 32. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. That's how you get rid of it, Paul says. And it all comes down to that particular phrase, forgiving one another. That's hard. Because it's not fair, is it? They hurt you. They were wrong. They were wrong. And it feels like you're letting them off. It's hard. Because you want to tell me your story. You want to tell me, Phil, it's not that simple. And you may have a terrible story. Maybe even from childhood. Maybe we'll all sit around and we'd all agree, if we heard your story, that is awful. I sit in counselling sessions every Thursday night and I hear people whose stories, I get angry. I sit there. And I tell them, what you've just told me makes me feel angry. You must feel angry. And they do. Because of the things that are done to people. Usually when they're young and when they're kids and when they're vulnerable and when they can't defend themselves. And it's horrendous stuff. It's horrendous stuff. And I listen to people's stories on a regular basis every Thursday night. And it breaks my heart. And it would break your heart to hear those stories. But here's the question. Do you want to get rid of it? And if you do, you have to forgive. It's the only way. But they don't deserve to be forgiven. Exactly. This isn't about fair. This is about getting rid of it and getting on with your life, because it's hurting you, it's not hurting them. This is about getting rid of it. And forgiveness is such a misunderstood concept. It all goes back to that debtor thing. To forgive is to what? It's to cancel a debt. To forgive is to literally cancel a debt. That's all it is. It's not justifying what somebody did. It's not legitimizing what somebody did. What they did was wrong. And you can still acknowledge that. You don't have to say, oh, it's all right. It doesn't matter. It did matter. And it does matter. But what you're doing is you're cancelling the debt. You don't owe me anymore. Yes, you should have protected me. Yes, you should have nurtured me. Yes, you should have been there at my graduation. Yes, you should have kept your vows. Yes, you should have kept your word. Yes, you should have, but you didn't. And for years I've lived with it. But now I'm making a decision. You don't owe me anymore. You are forgiven, which means I don't have to carry it anymore. I am free of it. Forgiveness closes the door to the devil. It closes the account. Forgiveness is the only way. It is the only way to break the power of anger in our lives. And I've ever said, I've heard horror stories, and I've gotten angry over what I've heard, and I've wanted to, they've said they want to go out and kill someone, and I've wanted to load the gun for them. I've got to be honest, I wanted to load the gun, because I think they're justified. But here's what I know, keeping an open account only hurts me, and almost certainly hurts the people I love, because they're the ones who get it. They're the ones who the anger spills onto because they're safe to do that. And just in case you're still arguing about this because it doesn't seem fair, it isn't fair, you're right, it's not fair, but it's not about fair, it's about getting free. And those are two different things. But if your case, you're arguing about this still, you're saying, I can't forgive, here you go, believer, follower of Jesus, here you go. Be kind to each other. Be tender-hearted, forgiving each other. Here's the killer. Here's the killer blow from Paul. Just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Me. You still want to talk about unfair? Still want to talk about the injustice of forgiveness? Let me tell you, forgiveness is deeply unfair. Get used to it. If it wasn't unfair, you and I would be in a desperate situation before God today. We had an open account with God. We owed something we could not repay. We hurt him. We owed him. We couldn't pay it back. And God decided to do what? For me. To cancel the debt and to let me off. Is that fair? And is it fair that somebody else had to pay for me? For that to happen? Is it fair that Jesus had to hang on a cross for me to make that happen? How can I not offer somebody what I have been given? And if I hadn't been given that unfair forgiveness, I would be in trouble. He sent his son who was blameless, not for his sin, for mine, for my debt. And he paid it willingly. Would you ask Jesus to take that back today because it's not fair? Would you ask him to take it back because it isn't fair to him? Listen, if God can close the account on me and bear the unfairness of forgiveness, and he did, he bore the unfairness of it, then surely I can close the account on others who owe me. Because he's led the way, and he said, he can do this. I've done it for you, now you do it for them. Listen, just to help you along, did you realize you can never really get paid back anyway? Let me just throw that out there. How are they going to pay you back anyway. You can be mad at Dad for not being there for when you were a kid. But if he came to you today and said, "How can I make it up to you?" I bet you'd look at him and go, "You can't. It's gone. You can't. You can't go back in time. You can't rewrite history. You can't change my childhood or my first marriage or my reputation. You can't. It's done." And I appreciate the apology, but in terms of balancing the account, it's a currency that cannot be paid. How would they pay you back? Most people can't. And so God smiles at you and me and he says, "Hey, I've got an idea." It's the same idea I had when I was thinking about your debt to me, Phil. Why don't we just close the account? Why don't we just let it go? Why don't we just forgive? Because forgiveness breaks the power of anger in our lives. I'm going to close with some practical steps for you to take if you're struggling with anger, or if you know somebody who is and you're in a position to talk to them. Here's some things to do, three things to do. Put them all up there. First thing, identify who you're angry with. And that's really tricky because it sounds like, "Well, I know I'm angry at everybody." Yeah, and that indicates that probably you're carrying it and it's from somewhere else. You're going to be tempted to identify the people around you right now. Would you be willing to go back a couple of seasons and ask the same question, "Who am I angry with?" And it might be someone, here's why it's hard, it might be someone you deeply, deeply love. And who you want their love from. It might be someone you deeply loved. The number of times I hear people in counselling and they talk to me about their family life or a previous relationship and they talk glowingly about them. And I'm thinking, "Really? Why are you saying such wonderful things about this person? I'm not convinced. I'm hearing all these things they did to you, and I'm thinking they weren't your friend. They didn't love you. Why are you being so..." Because it's so hard to accuse or to recognize that the hurt came from someone we love. It's so hard to go there and to say that. But it might be someone you love very deeply. "Oh, they weren't that bad. It wasn't their fault. They meant well." But if they hurt you, they hurt you. Admit it. You've got to be honest about this because you're angry at everybody else and they can't get the book closed because they're not the one who caused it. So you owe it to the people around you now to go back and to ask the question, "Who are you really angry with?" And the second thing is identify what was taken from you. And this one, really important because we skip this. You can't forgive without working out what you're owed. You have to know what you're owed in order to cancel the debt. You have to know the balance on the balance sheet in order to cancel it. So you have to work out what was taken from you. And some people, it's an open list. For some people, it's a list that they carry around for a while and they keep randomly adding to it because as they talk and think and pray, they realize that was taken from me too. And so was that. And I never had that. And that happened because of that. And the list gets longer and longer. But it's really important to identify what was taken from you because how can you close an account if you don't know what the bill is? You have to know what the bill is. And you can't really forgive until that list is complete. You'll be saying it's finished, but it won't be because there isn't something accounted for. And it'll come up. So identify what was taken from you. And the third thing is decide to cancel the debt. Decide to forgive. Really hard. Really unfair. Well, this is about getting free. This is where a bit of ritual can sometimes help. You might make a list and burn it. Sometimes that's really helpful for people. You make that list and you destroy it in some way. You burn it. You might even invite a friend to come along and help you with the process. It's sometimes we need ritual to get through things and to put a close to it and close the account. Sometimes that's really helpful for us as human beings. I heard of one lady who took her list and buried it in the back garden and put a cross on it. And every time she was in her kitchen and she thought, oh, I'm getting angry about it again, she would look out the window, she would see the little pile of earth and the cross, and she would say, no, that debt's cancelled, that's buried. That's buried. I've buried that. I've chosen to do that. That's what she'd do. I've cancelled the debt. They don't owe me anymore. And the other thing you need to do is decide to cancel debt is you need from that point on is to keep short accounts. Don't ever again let the sun go down and carry anger from one season to the next. Don't ever carry anger long term. Keep short accounts. Have conversations. Talk about how you feel. But develop the habit of keeping short accounts for the rest of your life so you can keep your heart clean. The beauty of this is not that it feels fair. The beauty of this is that you feel free. Maybe for the first time. To let go, I always think of Pilgrim's Progress, to let go of a burden that is just weighing you down. And you're carrying everywhere. And is affecting the people around you. And you can be free of it. Paul says, you can wipe it clean. I've got a little video, and it's a little bit of an image of what we can do, of what the Bible says there is hope. We can wipe the slate clean. You can get rid of stuff. You can clear the slate. Just have a look at this. Jesus' invitation to anybody who wants to follow him is this: come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, you who are carrying stuff you were never meant to carry long term, and I'll give you rest. It's not going to be feeling fair, but you will be free. And if you want to talk about fair, says Jesus, come and have a cup of coffee with me, and I'll talk to you about fair. Let's pray together. Father, help us to ask these questions. Is everything okay in my heart? Let me start with my heart and nobody else's. Am I angry at anybody? Am I on a bit of a short fuse at home? Or with my friends? Or with the people who it's safer to have a short fuse with? Do I find myself reacting over the smallest things? God, I'm bothered by that. Will you help us to be willing to do the hard work? Not just occasionally when it's critical, but all the time, every day, not to let the sun go down without doing the hard work and asking ourselves the hard questions. Help us to be willing to make the list if we need to. Help us to be willing, as Paul said, to get rid of it and to be free of it. Help us, Father, to refuse to allow anger to reside in our hearts for the rest of our days. Help us to realize the only other alternative is to decide how long we want to carry this. Because in the end, it's my decision to carry it. Or it's my decision to lay it down. Thank you for the example of Jesus. Thank you for showing us how costly forgiveness is. But how necessary. And help us to be forgiving people. Not, Lord, because it's fair, but because we want to stay free from the burdens that so many carry through their lives. Help us to stay free. We ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close with, I haven't sung this for years, but this is a great hymn because it says some things that only this hymn says, I think. Listen to this verse. Drop thy still dews of quietness till all our striving cease. Take from our souls the strain and stress and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy peace, the beauty of God's way, not my way. Let's sing, shall we?